Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your love and thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for another week, a fresh one, with fresh things. It is you who gives us all the good things that we enjoy. We thank you that this week is a week also of good things to enjoy. We thank you for this morning as we've come into your presence. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to us. You will affect our lives. And that you will not let us leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. You may be seated. Please, in the presence of the Lord. We're looking at the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. I think the book is finished. You can check it if you choose to. I think you should get it too. Hallelujah. I think we started on Tuesday talking about the words of Jesus Christ. And we spoke about the fact that Jesus is our master. Jesus is our savior. And what he says, we should take very, very, very seriously. We live in a world where there's so many voices, so many people talk, so many people speak. And it's quite interesting that even though we are Christians and we say we've given our lives to God and that Jesus is our master and our savior, we still follow the voice of our boyfriends, still follow the voice of our husbands, still follow the voice of our wives, we still follow the voice of our parents. Not that we shouldn't follow these voices, but when it comes to the voice of Jesus Christ or the words of Jesus, that of Jesus should be above all of these nice, nice people we have in our lives. So we started looking at what Jesus said about his own words. Do you remember? What Jesus said about his own words. And I am very, very proud that at least Jesus said something about his own words. Because even though there are people who came up who are dead and gone, who said they were the way, who said they were the messengers of God, they never said things about their own words. You know, it is different when somebody makes comments about your words. And it's also different when you make statements about your own words. Because it is said and it's believed that when you say good things about yourself, it's not normally the right thing to do. You have to allow somebody to. Mr. and Mrs. Wills, you're welcome from abroad. You know, so normally when you say that, oh, me, my words are, you know, are this, are that, you are seen as a proud person. You are seen as somebody who is trying to, you know, big up yourself. You use a biggity, isn't it? And then you can't be doing things like that. In fact, that is the reason why in most cases, when you are asked to say some things about yourself, for example, when you go for a job interview, and you are asked to, say something about yourself, we hardly say good things about ourselves because, I mean, like myself, I grew up in a culture where you were asked not to say good things about yourself. You were we were advised that let somebody rather say good things about you, because salt does not brag about its taste, or its flavor, or its savor. Do you get it? So I was brought up in a system where you don't say good things about yourself. You allow somebody rather to compliment you. So when you say good things about yourself, you're seen as a very Samway person. Do you get it? It's like self-praise. Self-praise
is no recommendation.
Self-praise is no recommendation. That's how we say it here in Guyana. Now, as I was brought up like that, when the time came for me in Europe to try and get myself a job, and then when you go for the job interview, then they will ask you, why should we hire you, Michael? Why should we hire you? Why should we employ you? And then, as black as I am from Africa, then I said, oh, because I need a job. Because I need money. Because I have not paid my rent for 2 months now. And my landlord is going to evict me out of the house if I don't pay my rent. And then, you know, they'll be shaking their head. It's okay, all right, we will get back to you. So thank you for coming. You wait for 200 years. They won't get back to you. Because you are not able to give the reasons why you must be hired. There are about 10 of you that have been shortlisted, that have been interviewed. Now come and tell us, why would you hire you? You say, because you need money to pay your rent. I mean, everybody needs money to pay their rent. You see, so most times you don't know how, even what you want to say about it. That's why even when you ask somebody, why are you in love with this person? I've asked a few people, even married couples, I ask them, why did you marry this person? They can't tell you anything tangible. Yeah. You ask yourself, ask the person who says they love you, ask them, why do you love me? Elizo. Yeah. You should ask your wife, ask your husband, why do you love me? You'll be very surprised what they will say. I'm sure you may not be surprised, because you yourself, you don't even know. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's true. You ask. You start asking those questions. When somebody comes to you and says, oh, I like this person, I love this person. So why do you like this person? Yeah. You'd be surprised what the person will say. Many people don't have a good reason why they like you. They just see your nice face and they're assuming that, you know, things will be nice also. And that's all. The people don't have good reasons. It's like Guinea. They just want to go around tasting things that look so nice. But really, why? They don't have an idea. Are you there? So for Jesus, the words of Jesus are very, very important. Because one of the things that Jesus tried to do whilst he was on earth, and while his words were also recorded in good Bibles, if you have a good Bible, the words of Jesus are in red. It's because Jesus came down to tell us about heaven. He came to tell us about what is going to happen to us when we die and we go over. Or what this world and the things in them and all. Jesus made a lot of statements. Now, if we're going to take Jesus' words as they are, we will live a very good life. Now, for example, one thing Jesus didn't do. Anytime Jesus spoke about money, he spoke about money in a negative way. You do that research for yourself. Go and look at it yourself, and you next week when you come back, we can talk about it. Jesus always, anytime he spoke about rich people, anytime he dealt with rich people, anytime he spoke about money, it was always in a negative light. What do we do these days? We like rich people in our churches. When we see rich people, we gravitate towards them. We suck up to them. Then you see somebody rich, you say, God says I should marry you. I had a dream. I have a dream. American dream. To marry my prince. You know the song? Have you heard the song before?
It's true.
But anytime Jesus spoke about money, Jesus is the one who said that it is very difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven. He said, it is easy for a camel to enter the hole of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. One time a guy came and he said he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, what should he do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said he should, love your neighbor. He said, I've done it. He said, obey the commands. He said, I've done it. He said, okay, go and sell all your possessions, because he was a rich man. He said, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. The guy couldn't do it. Anytime, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Anytime Jesus spoke about money, it was in a negative light. But we are looking for the money that Jesus said bad things about. If we really know that he's our Savior, if we really accept him as our Lord, and we are really following his words, when we look at money, we'll look at it differently. We need money. Money is good for our well-being. But Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Money was always something Jesus said something bad about. I tell you. We travel to places where money is. Look at it, whether we really are following our Savior's words. So he made some statements that are very important, but he also made some statements about his own words. And that's what we're looking at, isn't it? Are you with me? Right. Now, we looked at the first two, if you have the book. And then we want to look at number three now. Or I think it's number four. Look, we did a 1, 2, 3, isn't it? We don't want to look at number four. Luke chapter 21. And verse 33, Luke 21, verse 33, what Jesus said about his own words. I mean, what can you say about your own words? Coco, what would you say about your words? We say things we don't mean. We say things that we say, no, I didn't mean it. We say things that we regret. We say things that we change our minds about. We say we vow a vow and then we don't fulfill the vow. That's why the Bible says that God, if you fulfill a vow, you must obey it, because God has no pleasure in fools. Because God knows us. He knows us when we say A, really? I said that? Somebody tell you they love you. But no, they don't love you really. They love you until a problem comes up. That's what they really mean. Jesus said this. Luke chapter 21 and verse 33. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I don't know what Muhammad said about his words, but he couldn't say nothing about his words because he's nowhere. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words shall not pass away. It means that the words of Jesus will be far older than you and me. Yeah. If we celebrate the birthday of the words of Jesus, we'll celebrate it into infinity, forever. Because there's not a time that the words of Jesus will cease to have influence and power. He said, my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. How many years has the heavens been around? How many years has the earth been around? And how many years is the heaven and earth going to still be around? Jesus said, after all of this, when we trace these archaeologists, they call themselves, they talk about dinosaurs. They talk about some animals that they are not around anymore. All kinds of things they talk about. Now, the earth has been there since those days. Yeah. And it's going to be there until he comes again. Yeah. He says that as heaven and earth will pass away. It means the mountains will go. It means the houses will go. It means the seas will go. And then his words will still be there. But one of the nice things that this verse tells me is that when the heaven and the earth pass away, you're looking at the end of the world. You're looking at the end of the world. And Jesus is saying that my words that I've spoken to you, at the end of the world, my words will still be around. The other thing I find very, very interesting also is that the Bible says that God and his word is one.
If you see God's words, or if you hear God's words, it's the same as him.
The Bible says the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. If you go to John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says that, and the word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. So this verse is telling us that at the end of the world, we shall see somebody. After everything is gone in the chaos and in all the confusion, you see somebody standing, brightness around him in white, with his beard and all of that. It's going to be Jesus, because he says that his words will not pass away. His words are the same as himself. Where is Muhammad? Yeah. The world was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This same word, when the earth and the heavens are over, the word will be standing there. It's like you're running a race, and then you think you've finished, and then you see Jesus standing right there. His words will never pass away. We are talking about somebody who is more than a human being. You and Pastor Isan, do you know your father's grandfather? Do you ever hear his voice?
No.
Ah. So, how many generations and your voice is gone? Two, maximum three generations. Your voice is finished. So my grandmother used to say, by the time your grandchildren come, it's gone. Grandmother, grandfather, what's grandfather? You want to look at my children? My children don't know anything about where I was born, the country I was born in. They don't know anything. If you tell them to go find a way, you can't find a way. You have to take them there. It's too fantastic. That's what, how many generations? Just one generation. I know my country. At least I can find my way to the country I originally am from. But if you tell them, go to your father's country now, where are they going to start? Just one generation. Now you think about it. If even in one generation people have lost their identity, how much more the words? It's gone. My oldest daughter, when we came down here, used to speak Dutch. Because of that, the teachers were saying, no, they can't allow her to, be in the class that she's supposed to be in, because she understand English. So we struggle with it, but that was the truth. Moving from a Dutch speaking country to an English speaking country, you can't follow. She couldn't she couldn't follow the classes. So she needed to go back. The class, she couldn't go with those who were. She would have written CXC this year. But because of the Dutch and the English. Now, if you ask her any word in Dutch, you'll be surprised. Sometimes, some of our pastor friends, they will ask, so do they still speak the language? Oh, yeah. They roasted it, crying, and eating it. It's gone. The words of Jesus are so profound that when the heavens are over, when the earth is over, Jesus said that his words will not pass away. Amen. How many of us know Burnham? In fact, they tell us that they shouldn't talk about Burnham because many people don't know him. Jagan. I don't know how you say it. They said, you know Jagan? Jagan, do you know Jagan? You know Forbes, Burnham?
No clue.
So when they talk about Burnham, it's like, all right, okay, me father talking about. By the time you start having children, you will not talk about no Burnham. Finished. Because it doesn't mean anything to you. It's rather Jagdeo you talk about, and Granger. For 23 years, many people have not seen a president, but Jagdeo. So all you can see is more of Jagdeo than Branham. Yeah, you only see his picture and then a few years from now, it's finished. It's gone. I mean, if your father used to tell about Branham, you even get tired. Daddy always talking about this Branham. By the time you become your own woman, Branham is gone. It's Jagdeo you'll be talking about. Yeah. And Granger, the Green Ranger. Danger. And then like that. Before I realize, a generation comes, who is Granger? Oh, my mother used to talk about some Granger, Forester, Granger. It was something. Okay, all right, okay. And then they'll be looking at somebody else also. Maybe some Kwame now or some Kofi would have become president or something. Yeah. I'm saying this to tell you that things will come and go. Words will come and go. But Jesus, I mean, the letters that are written in red in the New Testament, they will come and stay. They will come and be there. In fact, if you don't take care, the words of Jesus will fight you and I. There are words that are there. I mean, no matter what you do, the words are there. They are life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Cry. It has life in it that is eternal. You see, so when you look at all these things and then people, man, I don't know why some people believe in other things, man. Yeah. Is it ignorance or they don't understand? If you really analyze Jesus, why would you believe in something else? Why? Yeah. This is it Christabel Hughes, who died the other day? Nigel Hughes' mother. She was cremated. It's very interesting. I was thinking about it. If you get cremated and then the second coming of Christ comes, are you going to rise up? It's somewhere. I mean, of course, you rise up because, but it's somewhere. That's why I will not want to be cremated. Even though, you know, if it happens here, this cemetery here, I mean like it. Not here. Please, not here. If you take me to a nicer place, quiet, in a village somewhere. Or maybe just dig some hole here and put me right here. But here, I might easy not come up. It will be too heavy. They cremated her and then, you know, they took the ashes. And I saw some pictures on Facebook. Nigel Hughes and you know, the siblings, they were on a boat. They said they went to where the river meets the Atlantic to release the mother to go and meet her ancestors or something. I said, people believe things though. Ancestors? You don't want to know your ancestors. The bad things and the wicked things they have done. I was thinking about Adam the other day. I was wondering what he thinks when he looks at us. I was thinking about Eve. That beautiful woman, Eve. As I'm wondering, when he looks at us from heaven, what he thinks, what she thinks. Because it's because of Eve, that's why you and I are here, you know. Eve went to eat the apple. Sarita, it's because of Eve, that's why you're here. I'm wondering, what is she thinking? It's like, Adam, it's like, no matter, as long as human beings are alive, Adam and Eve will always be spoken about. Yeah. I tell you, I don't want to be Adam or Eve at all. Yeah, I'm sure God has forgiven them by now, but it's still some way. How can you take the whole world problem on yourself? And because of Eve, God said, your desire will be to a man. He will not treat you well, but you can't go without a man. It's a curse to marry. It's a curse to fall in love. Did you know that? You don't know it's a curse. Oh.
No. It's God said one of the curses he cursed Eve was, he said, your desire will be to your husband and he will rule over you. It's like Saddam Hussein. I was watching the world's documentary on the most evil men in history. The evil men in history. It was Hitler. It was Stalin. Idi Amin. And then Gaddafi. You know, Saddam didn't feature really. I don't know why. I'm sure Saddam will qualify, but yeah, it was very nice. And I mean, the documentary is so nice that, I mean, they speak about this guy for about 5 minutes, and then they move on to this guy, and they move on, and then they come back. It's very, very nice. Stalin used to sleep in his office. Yeah. He killed about 2 million people or so. Yeah, no. If he smells that you are not with him, you are dead. Cry. Yeah. And there was a place, Siberia. If he doesn't kill you, he sends you to Siberia. Siberia, the temperature is minus 50 degrees Celsius. So if he's lenient with you, then it sends you to there to go and work. As you, people die as they are working. Minus 50 degrees Celsius. That's how they drink vodka in Russia. Because you need to drink something hot to make you stay alive. If you drink vodka here, you die. We there are a lot of cultural things that we don't understand, right? Because you are here, you drink vodka, and you're excited. You die. Because the weather here and vodka doesn't work. Because over there, they smoke and they drink vodka just to keep their bodies hot and moving, right? I mean, they have a good reason for doing that. I mean, it's not good, but that's what they do. Because if you don't drink vodka, you die. Yeah? Stalin used to sleep in his office. And he was personally involved in saying, this man must die, this must be jailed. Okay, leave this one. Every day, like Gaddafi, they had a list every morning on their desk, deciding who should die and who. Gaddafi's photographer, he said he was a police, he was a judge, he was a law, he was everything all together. Yeah. So Stalin, he got a heart attack. He just died in his office. He was always there alone. Yeah. One thing about these guys also is that they don't really like, I mean, they don't spend time with women a lot. Idi Amin was a little funny. He had three wives and how many children? He killed his wives. Because one night he was asleep. When he woke up, they were not around. When he inquired, the wives were still at a party with his bodyguards. He went on the TV station and he announced to the whole country that his wives are infidels, they are unfaithful women. He killed all three of them. Yeah, I said they are dancing with his bodyguards. So they with them. He killed all three of his wives. Yeah, yeah. Idi Amin Dada. I said, it's Adam and Eve. They said, the things that have happened, the commentator said, one day, about 10 minutes to, his plane landed at Heathrow Airport. Then the pilot radioed to control tower and said, I have the president of Uganda on board. He didn't tell anybody that he's coming to England. Can you believe it? He sits on a plane and they fly from Africa to London, 10 minutes to land. Then the pilot tells a control tower, the president of Uganda is in the plane. They say, hey, the president coming. I mean, it's a big visit. You don't tell anybody you are coming. When they ask him, the queen, you know, made room for him and all of that. And so she asked him why He didn't inform them, you know, official face. They said, oh. I mean, he said, why the surprise? Said, oh, a size of shoe, he can't get it to buy in his country. In other words, he has come to London to buy shoes. Size 14 or something, he was inside. I can imagine how Adam and Eve feels. Yeah. Made all these people, including you and I, the words of Jesus are so powerful. I tell you, it is so powerful. When we enter into heaven, the words of Jesus will be there. Yeah. Number 5. Jesus spoke of the attachment to his words as the sign of attachment to himself. Jesus considered devotion to his words to be the test of discipleship. In John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. So, if Jesus wants to know how close you are to him, he judges that by how close you are to his words. I think it's very simple. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Even as human beings, parents, it is the children who listen to us. They are the ones who really are dear to us. True or correct? It's true. The ones who don't listen to us really, I mean, you can't disown them, but you know, it's like, you know, you are just there. You're just flowing. Yeah. Sometimes they say, oh, you have a favorite. Sometimes parents are accused by their own children of having a favorite. But if you look into it really, it is the attachment of that particular child to the words of the parent. It is how they cherish it, that parent's words, how they obey the words of that parent, how they do it. If you call them, it's not like, now I'm dragging my feet. It's not this thing that, Lynette! You have to say Lynette 5 times before you hear anybody answer. Meanwhile, there's this particular one, you say, Lynette! And you say this, runs and is there. Helps, this, that. Bishop was, you know, explaining one day about, normally when he goes into his study and he goes to pray, he said that when he goes to pray, he doesn't allow any of his children to, you know, disturb him. But one time, I think he said one of his children, I think it was one of the girls or so, had come and probably knocked on the door for a while and he didn't hear and he didn't open. He said when he, in the early morning, around 4 or 5 a.m., when he was going out of his study, when he opened the door, then the child just falls down into the room like that. The child was just by the door sleeping. It's like, he said when he saw that, you know, he was touched. Because it's like the child had come to be with him. And the child is not going until when he opened the door, the child just was sleeping. So the child fell into the room like that. I mean, it's like, oh, I hope you didn't hit your head. I mean, it's like the child is there, want to be with you. The person's attached to you. It depends on that. So that's how come we say, oh, this one is a favorite, that's a favorite, that's a favorite. It is how close you are to that particular person's words. So just in case you are wondering, oh, me, I love Jesus. Oh, the litmus test to your attachment to Christ is how you pay attention to his words. Jesus said that as you attach yourself to my words, it's the same as attaching yourself to me. Yeah. Attachment to my words is the same as attachment to me. So this one is not a secret. It's not something that you can you know, go around and say, oh, but Jesus, don't you know me? It's not about that. If I know you, and if I love you, or if you are close to me, you'll be close to my words. Jesus spoke of the attachments to his words as a sign of attachment to himself. Jesus considered devotion to his words to be the test of discipleship. If we're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, there's not a single thing Jesus says that you will not do. There's not a single thing that Jesus says that you will not respect. If you're a true, real, real Christian, if you and I are really saved, if you and I are really the servants of Jesus Christ, his words, we are attached to his words. So Jesus said, we'll quote Jesus more. We'll quote Jesus more rather than some of the things that we say that don't really hold water. Instead of quoting scriptures, you say, you can't hang your hat where your hand can't reach. That's not Jesus' words. Self-praise is no what? It's no recommendation. It's not in the Bible. Why don't you say something that Jesus said? That's what we want to hear. If Jesus, you see, your attachment to Jesus, if we really love Jesus, we want to be close to Jesus, it's so simple. Our attachment to his words. And if we are attached to his words, we will always say what Jesus said. I said, we will always say what Jesus said. Rather than me mother said, and me father tell me, and me uncle said, and me grandmother said, and then proverbs, and adages, and bywords, and all kinds of things. When Jesus, who is supposed to be important to you, you don't even refer to him in any of your conversations. What did Jesus say? Jesus said so many things. He said so many things. Jesus spoke a lot about, he spoke about marriage. He's made some statements about marriage. Matthew chapter 19. He explained who can stay celibate. Who is an Enoch? Why somebody, Jesus, he explained why divorce. He said, Moses allowed divorce because they asked him. He said, you want me to talk to you about divorce? He said, divorce is because your heart is too hard. Because we tell you something, you don't want to listen. That's why you are forced to divorce. So what can we do? We give you a certificate so that you go. We can't force you to stay with her. Jesus said, but in the beginning it wasn't so. He's made his pronouncement already. Yeah. And then sometimes we say, God understand. No, really go into the Bible and hear what he said. He said, because of your heart. So, the disciples said, but if it's not true, divorce is not, why did Moses? He said, Moses did it because you people, you are always. So, Moses had to desire something to get rid of you. Because no matter what we say, no matter what Moses is saying, you are not listening. Just like you have to force, Moses has to do something. But he said, but in the beginning, it wasn't so. Jesus also said something about gay marriage and all of that. He said something about them. Yeah. He said that in the beginning, he made them male and female. You go before God and go and tell God that, when I was born, I felt like a woman who loves a woman. You go ahead. When you meet him, you tell him those nonsense. He will slap you, you will see. Because he said it. I said, we should, the attachment to his words is attachment to him. He made clearly, he said in the beginning, he made them male and female. Finished. Why you are discriminating? Why you are judging people? Why you are doing this? Hello. You remember what Jesus said? It's not judgment. It's not discriminating. No. It's what Jesus said. And what Jesus said is what we are following because he's our master. If we live our lives like that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have nice lives. Our lives will be easy. In fact, anytime somebody tells you something, ask the person, did Jesus say anything like that? Now, if Jesus didn't say it, please don't bring it close to me. Yeah. If we live our lives like that, we'll be very, very close to Jesus because he said it. He said that the paying attention, the attachment to his words is equal to attachment to him. You know when your wife, where's your wife? You've gone somewhere. Is it when you say, I love you, I love you, I love you? You know, it makes her get attached to you because of the word. Yeah. You don't know that. You don't know that. Yeah. Pays attention, yeah. That's why they advise that you should tell your wife and your husband, I love you all the time. Yeah, sometimes it's about 1 year ago you've not said I love you.
But I love you. If I don't love you, I won't be with you. I love you. Staying with you is equal to loving you. Why do I have to say it? But it being attached, it in a certain sense also, communicating with somebody makes you closer to the person. Yeah. No, people fall in love because they talk a lot. Sometimes not because because you talk a lot, you fall in love with one another. Yeah. Oh, Lizzo, is that not what happens around here? Yeah. As you talk, so what happened? How are you? Every day, texting, every day, talking, every day. Then the people get attached to each other by the words. Sometimes you go over the text and you read them. And then you smile. You are alone, oh. It's not what happens. Yeah. Voice notes. You play them, Zon. You play them. And then you smile. And then your mother says, girl, you all right? Say, yeah, I good. You are attaching yourself to his words. And the attachment to his words, it's the same as getting close to the person. Yeah. Meanwhile, we don't do that to the Bible. We don't listen to the voice notes that Jesus has sent to us. Just me. Reading text messages. Yeah. Oh. Some people, they don't delete messages. Oh.
No.
They keep them. They are not keeping them. They keep them so that when you and she get around, and they go back and then they... Oh. You see how you get catch? Right Sunday morning in the church, you get checked, you get catch. Yeah, it's also communication, because when you attach the person's words, you get attached to the person. Oh yeah. Oh, cry. Don't you love somebody? You should always talk to them. Yeah. The words become part of you. It's like you miss it. If you don't hear from them one day, it's like something is wrong. You're attached to the person. Yeah, that's why when you are not talking, you feel it. Because the attachment has come because of the words. Oh, if only we can do that with Jesus. Hey, I say, if only we can do the same thing with Jesus, that we'll read the letters of Jesus, Jesus's letters to us in the Bible, Jesus's words, preaching and all of that, we will get so attached to it that when we don't read Jesus, when we don't read the Bible, one day we'll feel very awkward. If only we can develop that. Yeah. I tell you. Yeah, sometimes there's some boy who beats you, who treats you bad. He's not there. You still miss him. Hey, oh, cry. It happens. It happens. Like, the guy doesn't treat you well. Doesn't, oh, that cough you are, but he's not there. You're still reading his messages. If he was there, he'll be coughing you. It's fantastic. Attachment is the words. And some of the words are not even true. It's a lie he's told you. And one day, a particular young man was dating a girl in a church. And then he told her that he misses her like a cow misses grass. Hey! I never knew that cow can also miss grass. He's like, where are you? Come, let me graze on you. Ham, 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 ham. I left him in the desert without grass. Is it true? Is it really true? Oh, the guy used to rap. Oh, he used to rap. We used to pass the text messages around, and we used to laugh in the church. The girl will pass. The girl will laugh, and she will pass the message around, and we also pass them. We will laugh. So we used to call the guy cow. I used to call the girl grass. Yeah, in the church, right there in the church. When they got married, they are blessed, so they've left the church. Yeah. One day he said he misses her like. he has been in jail for 1,000 years. Yeah.
It's true.
And these make people attach themselves. Oh, yeah. All these kinds of fantastic stories. Jail, 1,000 years. Will you even remember me? 1,000 years in jail. Margaret, read about Margaret. Yeah. So Jesus, he knows those that are close to him. He knows those who are attached to him. It's those who pay attention to his words. So we can't trick Jesus. We can't fool Jesus. Because in regular relationships, even though you talk and talk on that, sometimes people are very, very deceptive. Yeah. Sometimes you give your heart to people and they don't care about you at all. Oh yeah. I mean, you give your heart, you falling in love and all of that. The person's mind is on something else. Yeah, someone else, some other thing. And you are just so much in love. If you hear the phone ring, especially he has a special ringtone on your phone. When he calls and it rings, even if you're in the bathroom, you're going to the, if you've not heard from him, you're going to the bathroom, you take the phone into the bathroom. Yeah. If you make a mistake to leave the phone somewhere, when he calls, you get out of the bathroom, you go and pick it up. Hey, you want to hear his words? Hey. Honey, I love you. Hey. Christians, let us attach ourselves to the words of Jesus like that. I believe it will be a blessing. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Wow. Jesus is powerful. I tell you. Can we wake up and just want to hear from Jesus? And Bishop says that, hey, he wants to see Jesus. I mean, when he speaks like that, you can understand this is somebody who really, you know. But I don't think, how many of us really want to see Jesus? It's like, well, if he shows himself, fine, but I'm okay. I have my husband and my wife here. I'm good. Yeah, and that's why we will not see Jesus too. Why would he show himself to somebody who doesn't want to? Who's like, if you come, come. If you won't come too, it's okay. If you are related with anybody, and you tell them, oh, you want to come by me? If you want to come by me, you can come by me. If you won't come by me too, you think the person will come by you? And it's like, Charlie, the person, he doesn't want me around him. Doesn't want me around her. Why should I, spend money and take a taxi and all of that and go to somebody who really from what the person is saying doesn't really want to see you? It's like you are just forcing yourself on them. That's how it is. May our hearts get so attached to Jesus that if we want to see him, it will be our heart desire. It will be one of our important prayers to see Jesus. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Jesus. We want to be attached to Jesus. We want to be in the arms of Jesus. We want to be in the company of Jesus. You have taught us this morning that it is the words that connects us to Jesus. May we, oh God, connect to the words of Jesus. The words that are so beautifully engraved in the scriptures. The words and the stories and the parables that one can never forget. May we be close to those words as we get closer to Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.